on this week's episode of the We've Seen That podcast, we're talking about Lady Bird. I'm Scott.
And I'm Anthony.
Music, we are back for episode number, oh my god,
73.
Okay, yep. All right, so I'm back because of Anthony's plea at the end of the last episode, and
I was just gonna say too, we're not gonna sugarcoat it. This has been an eventful week to try to find a time to do this pod too.
Every single week from here on out, the moment you hear our voices Monday morning, I'm not saying you should be grateful, but I'm also not saying that because, like, it is fucking hard to live. Like, I think that's the best way I can describe it. It is hard to live.
Life is hard. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I can already tell that I'm going to start getting more pressure to do other things. So I'm going to continue to do my best. My rating out of 10 already is an 8 of where, if how dead I am.
What were you at the last time you were on? I can't even remember.
A 4.
Oh, so it's been 2 weeks and now.
We have reached the red levels. Give me one more week. I can guarantee you it'll be a 10. So, yeah, I mean, these episodes may be a little bit shorter. We may start cherry picking some movies that I know very well, so that, you know, maybe I can't watch him this week, but at least I know the movie well enough to hold my own in this podcast. It's a challenge. It is a challenge sometimes to do this. We like to do it, but it's a challenge, straight up.
So, all right, buddy.
Yeah. Let's get into, well, first, what we're watching. Just quick update. Jimmer doing great. That is an update I wanted to give to the podcast, and I think he's going to be back sooner rather than later.
We might keep it a little bit out of order, but that might have to be our hype horn today.
Yeah, that is hype. Jim, what a fucking job. I never doubted you, but anyway, I think he's going to be back soon. Sounded good. Talked to him once already, and out of the hospital already, so way to fucking go, Jimmer. Other thing, what we're watching, let's just get right into it. Cassie has somehow gotten me onto this Netflix show, Cheer. Anthony, have you heard of this show?
I think I've seen it on the, like, main page as I've been scrolling through. Okay. But
so, I mean, it's really, honestly, I'm enjoying it a lot. And the reason why I'm enjoying it so much is the athletes in this show are fucking unreal. Like, the cheerleading is a sport that probably doesn't get enough shine for what these people actually do. It's pretty fucking crazy. But what killed me was one of the members of the show was fucking soliciting naked pictures from kids and stuff. So now I'm depressed about it. That happened in season 2. And now I'm not having as much fun with it anymore. But Cheer is what we're watching, and I went to see the new Jackass movie yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I did, and it was very good. I had a lot of fun. Could have went with a little bit less of dick. There was a lot of dick, but if you've seen Jackass movies in the past, like, I mean, there was some weird stuff going on, let's just say. I don't know what they pay these people, but it better be a lot, because if it's not, why would you do these things to your body? But, they pretty much didn't miss a beat. Knoxville almost died, but, you know, other than that, it was a fun movie. It's a fun movie.
That's just, like, one thing I've heard is, like, if you really think about it, what's, like, one recurring, like, you could basically call it a franchise that just never lets you down, and Jackass always seems to hit.
Yeah,
it's always entertaining. Like,
yep, and you've this never time been
disappointed.
Well, and this time they went even higher. You know, they got Francis Ngannou, Machine Gun Kelly, Jalen Ramsey, all sorts of pop culture, you know, stars in the show. So they definitely pulled it off, especially through a pandemic. And I think it's getting the shine it deserves because it actually was a pretty damn good movie. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Score on that, Jackass. Very hard to score Jackass, but I'd probably do 8 out of 10.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's about as high as a Jackass movie can probably reach. So
it's
whether or not it just makes you laugh. So if it made you laugh, it was probably good.
It did. Yeah. It did a great job of that. So
perfect. Well, I'm all caught up. Have you watched any of the Book of Boba Fett yet?
I watched episode 5 because Adam told me to, and that was fucking heat because... that was straight up the Mandalorian episode, and we got some Darksaber action, and that was fucking sweet. So yeah. I really enjoyed that episode. I have not watched 6.
Well, all I can say is wait till you watch episode 6, because Favreau and Filoni are literally just, like, anteing up. They're pushing all the chips all in, and they're just, like, any bit of, like, Star Wars fandom, they're just saying fuck it, YOLO swag, we're just throwing it in there, and it's just like out of control in a good way. Like, okay. It's like nerdgasm 10,000.
Okay, is there a return in the 6th one?
There's lots of returns.
Okay. Yeah. You know, episode 5, I thought for a second we were about to get pod racing.
I know. There was just I got it mixed up too. I will admit, like, when I first saw it, I thought maybe old pod racer, but then it made sense because I remembered the Naboo starfighters that Anakin flies at the end of the movie too. So I was like, oh shit, that's what it is. But
yeah, I mean, they've done a hell of a job with both these series. I think with the return of Star Wars lore, obviously, I think these have hit so fucking well. I've heard that the first 4 episodes of Boba aren't that good, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, this Mando series is a smash. Like, this is, it's going to be huge when they come out with season 3, and they are, right?
I think that's the plan, but these last 2 episodes have pretty much just been Mandalorian season 3, 1 and 2, but
I believe they said the screen time for Boba in the last 2 episodes is something like a minute. It's really small.
Sounds about right.
I'll try to knock that out today because I was planning on watching that.
Yeah.
And let's just roll right into the hype horn. Woo! Woo!
I did watch one movie quick.
Whoa!
I did finally see No Time to Die. Did you watch it?
Not yet.
Okay. I'd probably give it like a 7. I think it's top 3. What's his name? Daniel Craig, James Bond. It probably falls right at number 3. It was a good send-off. And Rami Malek was fine as the villain, but I thought just his whole motivations and, like, the whole story about the villain, I felt just was kind of weak overall. But in the end, it was a good send-off for Daniel Craig's Bond, and we'll see what they do now. So, pretty good.
Okay. Well, yeah, I blew the hype horn already, but let's just get into it. I do have a small piece of hype other than being hyped about Jim. Have you seen the commercials for this movie with fucking Dave Grohl as a killer zombie?
I don't think so.
Okay, so I don't know what the movie is, but there is a new movie coming out. Dave Grohl is in it. He's the main character in it, and I believe he's playing himself. Let's see, what is this called here? Studio 666 movie. Studio 666 is what it's called, and it is completely about the Foo Fighters. So I saw this trailer before Jackass, and I was like, what the hell? But we'll see. You know, that, I guess that's hype. I don't really know. A little bit more hype. We saw 2 more posters for the Lord of the Rings, which,
they're doing things right. They're definitely creating hype. Now it's just whether or not it delivers.
Yeah.
It's going to be the month's wait question we wait to get answered, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, Anthony, any other hype for you?
I mean, not so much. I haven't really paid attention too much like I should. It's not really great podcasting. But Netflix, did you see their like 3-minute trailer for the movies of 2022 they released?
No.
So they like released this like 3-minute trailer for all their movies they have coming out in 2022. And it was kind of cool because they like showed footage from all of them. There's probably like, they probably showcased like 10 or 15 different movies. But in each like 10 seconds of screen time the movie got, like the characters and actors like broke the fourth wall, like Deadpool style. And they kind of just read like a little script thing for Netflix. So it's like, wow, in the midst of showing like little trailers for the movies, they were still like promoting like Netflix, where movies happen and shit like that. It was kind of interesting, but there's a lot of movies coming out on Netflix this year. So,
okay. Well, I will check out that trailer too. But yeah, let's dive into our movie this week. 2017's Lady Bird. And let me just start with the IMDb page. And it states, in 2002, an artistically inclined 17-year-old girl comes of age in Sacramento, California. That is probably as accurate as you can get on exactly what this movie is. Starring Laurie Metcalf, help me out here.
I think it's like, I think you pronounce it as like Sorcy. I don't know.
Ronan. We might be. She's never coming on the pod. She's never coming. Tracy Letts, Timothy Chalamet. How do you say his last name?
I think it's like Chalamet.
Chalamet. Lucas Hedges, Beanie Feldstein. Anyway, this movie was recommended to us by recurring guest and fourth owner of the podcast, Adam. And he basically described it to me as it's a coming-of-age tale. It's exactly what it was. Let's start with a couple of things I just want to brief on. This is basically someone, Lady Bird, the main character. She's basically someone who is growing up in, it's like a Catholic all-girls school. Is that what this is?
But it's like a Catholic school, but I think, well, 'cause she meets like her quote-unquote first boyfriend there. Right. So I think it's mixed.
Mixed, right. And what Adam had said to me was, you know, growing up Catholic, this one just kind of hit to me. And as me, someone going to Catholic school, someone going to Catholic school younger, it definitely is kind of, there's some just funny parts in this where I was like, yeah, you know, in high school, I was kind of the same way. One scene I want to point out in particular that just had me geeking out was when they had their feet up, just eating the fucking body of Christ. That was killing me. Because it was like, you know, that's just so a no-no in the religion. But then they, you know, they said like,
yeah, what
they're not consecrated yet, so it's all good. I mean, it's like, other than that, though, I'm gonna just be honest. I did not find this movie very entertaining.
It definitely is like a taste kind of movie because whether or not, you know, like it just seems like not, I don't know, it was hard to say. I enjoyed it. I thought the performances were really good, like Lucas Hedges, you know, who plays her first boyfriend, I thought he did a fantastic job. But then, you know, it was kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's much more so that age, you know, it did kind of sum up the awkwardness of that age at times. I think it did some good things where her original boyfriend seemed to be, he's questioning of his sexuality, and obviously she catches him kissing a guy. And, like, I think the way that they portrayed that interaction with Lady Bird and Lucas Hedges of where, like, he's wanting her to not tell people and things like that, that it did a really great job of, like, that kind of emotion involved. But as for, like, Lady Bird's story, I don't really know what was the purpose, you know? Like, I obviously, we wanted to see her go to these schools that she wanted to go to that were out of state, but she couldn't afford to go to a college out of state. And we're kind of just heading towards that as she's going through two very strange boyfriends, basically.
Right. And the weird, you know, well, it's like every teenage kid, you know, they fight with their parents. And unfortunately, moms more often than not get the short end of the stick. Yes. In that scenario, which I thought they did a really good job. Like, they had a lot of really great themes. Like, the scene where, I'm assuming it's, like, her adopted brother, but he, like, goes and applies for the same job that their father. Yeah. So it's just, like, a strange dynamic, but yet, in the end, it shows that parents, you know, he straightens his tie, he tells him to, like, go get it, and it basically shows you that parents are willing to do anything for their kids, even if they're, in this scenario, up for the same job, they'd rather them be, you know, well off versus themselves. So stuff like that. I mean, the themes and like I said, performances and the way things were portrayed in this movie, I thought were done very well.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, we have Timothy Chantelet's character. I'm probably butchering his name.
He does have the best line in the movie, which you texted in the group chat.
What was that again? God, I
it's like, it so I don't, I don't,
something about the government.
Well, yeah, he said I don't participate in the economy because I don't like money.
Yes. He's a very free thinker, is the best way to describe his character. and he's kind of just a dingbat. Like, he implies to Lady Bird that he's a virgin because she is as well. And then it turns out, oh, he's not. I don't even know if I believe that. Maybe he was just trying to sound cool. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I mean, as for, like, substance we can talk about on this movie, it's just tough. It's tough to... it really is just a coming-of-age tale. Like, that is the best possible way to describe it of, you know, this is her year of growing up and learning that she fell really hard for her first boyfriend. It didn't work out, and... like, she was obviously devastated for a little bit, and they played a little, Dave Matthews Band in the car, I think it was, when they had their breakup. But just, I think, the movie trying to describe why these things don't matter as much as you think they do when you're younger, that is a good little theme that kind of comes out of this. Because, I mean... paint anyone in high school when they had their first breakup, it is the fucking end of the world. You're like, how am I going to go on? But that's why it's the coming of age tale, essentially. Right. So,
and she spends the entire movie basically fighting with her mom about wanting to leave Sacramento and go to school somewhere else. And, you know, towards the end of the movie, we see that her dad helps her apply for these other colleges, and she eventually goes to school on the East Coast. And it's not until like the very end of the movie where she finally comes to grips with like all the things she actually loved about Sacramento and her like mom in particular, because she calls and leaves like a voicemail about how she misses driving around and just the familiarity of everything. And yeah, I mean, it's just in the, you know, it kind of is what happens to all of us. You know, we spend your formative years trying to escape or be on your own, but eventually when you realize things aren't as great as they might be, or you kind of find yourself reflecting on everything that you were used to and took for granted, maybe, back in your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that hit me so hard with this movie was just that, like, when you're younger and when you're experiencing those things, like, this is portrayed as her being 17, I believe, and you think that each decision that you make is such a it's such a big deal, and then now we're here 10 years later, me being 27, you as well, not for much longer.
Not in a couple weeks.
Yeah. But like, you think back to that time and how literally you know it was much simpler, actually, because each decision really didn't matter as much. It just felt like it did. So I think that movie portrayed that really well and made me think, like, oh man, you know, like, maybe maybe everything I cared about wasn't a big fucking deal back then. But, you know, it's choices like that that shape us to what we become. And, yeah, I mean, you just assume that Lady Bird figured it out and figured out whatever she was going to do with life. But from there, I have nothing else on this movie. That is about what I wanted to say. So if you're okay with it, I would like to go right into the scoring. Adam might be furious with this review, and let me just apologize and say I can't do as much homework as I'd like to right now. So let me just get ahead of it before we get a group text on a Monday saying, hey, you guys did that movie dirty. Probably. Can't even pronounce the lead actress's name right. So I will start with my score. I will give it a 6 out of 10. And then there's also this, he's going to probably argue, you gave Jurassic Park 3 a 9 out of 10 and a critically acclaimed movie.
Was that your last movie? Because you missed last week. So you left off with a 9 for Jurassic Park 3 and you come into Lady Bird with a 6.
And let me again just reiterate for those scoring at home as well. This is based on how I like the movie. This is not some Scott database out there. If you had my brain, you'd agree with my takes. But this is just my
wonders
list. Yes,
of the podcast. It's technically, you know, it's your platform, Scott.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, literally. So, but I get it if you might say, hey, that's a little low for this and a little high for the other. But anyway, I just, you know, it kind of dragged a little bit. I liked the performances. I liked the emotions that it pulled at times. But as for, you know, is this movie up my alley? The answer would probably be no. So 6 out of 10 is going to be my score.
Sounds good. I will say, as kind of like the nerd that likes to see where movies were in award season, this movie was nominated for 5 Oscars, by the way.
Unbelievable.
Including Best Picture, Best Actress in a Leading Role, Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Best Achievement in Directing, and Best Original Screenplay. So
here's the issue now. Like, let's get ahead of this.
Those are all nominations. It did not win anything.
That's the thing, though. This is where there's just so much, like, fucking, I don't know. There's some movies that just get so highly rated, and I want to love them that way because I tend to trust critics.
Yeah, but you also don't want it to, like, bias, you know. You don't want it to overweight your own opinion of the movie.
To me, this one is one that this is overrated. It is definitely overrated. I don't know. Anthony, you score, and then maybe we
can... I was a little bit higher than you. I was, like, a 7 out of 10. For coming-of-age stories, I actually think this is one of the better ones that I've seen. They're usually not up my alley. Except for something like, I guess you could call maybe Stand By Me a coming-of-age story as those kids go on. That's a little more kind of what I gravitate towards. This is definitely more quote-unquote realistic. Like, you could see this being someone's, you know, anybody's real-life story. And to that, I should maybe give it more credit than I am, just because it feels like, you know, you're almost just watching a documentary of somebody's life. But, yeah, this was a movie that I wanted to see for the last couple of years, ever since it came out, because it was so highly acclaimed. And by no means do I think it's a bad movie whatsoever. I just kind of reiterate, Scott, what you said. It's like, it all depends on what, you know, kinds of movies you like. And I don't normally watch movies like this. Maybe I should more often. I should kind of open up to these sorts of things. I kind of wish Adam was here to do this, because he would probably be able to explain or, you know, slap us on the wrist a little bit. But I did like it. I'm glad I watched it. It's only like an hour and a half, too, so it's not like you're sitting through a two-hour, 30-minute movie of someone learning how to, you know, cope with their parents and stuff like that and trying to impress everybody. But yeah, I thought it was a nice movie, and I'm glad I watched it, so I'm kind of glad I can mark that off my, you know, highly critic-rated list of movies that I've been meaning to get to.
Right. Well, that concludes our review of Lady Bird, and I am now going to tell you what we are watching next week.
Is this a guarantee that you'll be on the pod then?
I have to be. but no, it's not. okay, look, people, can I just let's break the fourth wall here for a second. Okay, I am a tax accountant, and this time of year is obviously brutal. However, my time up to March 1st is usually the most brutal because I have farmers who, if they file by that deadline, don't have to prepay taxes. So my February, folks, is a fucking doozy. Then after that, it's a little bit better. It's more normal, like, tax hours, but my February is a absolute monster because I have roughly 100 farm clients. So there are a lot of ins and outs in February. And would you believe if I said that farmers are not the best at bringing me their data? Would you believe that I said that? You know,
it might just be something that's like, you know, on the totem, the bottom of their, you know, daily schedule.
Correct. I love them. They're great. But yes, this is this time of year. I am getting crushed. I should be here. I should. Will I guarantee it? I'll give you like 95% chance.
That's how I judge your life, is like when I'm at work and they start handing out W-2s. I'm like, oh, so this is when Scott dies. From here on about until it's and, like and as soon as I get my W-2, I'm like, oh, Scott will be.
Well, and take that a step further. I mean, I get Anthony calls me about on Monday, I think it was, and I have a radar at this time of year when people call me who I'm kind of like, hey, like, they don't call me that much. What's their tax question? Like, that's my immediate thought is what's Anthony want? Anthony just wanted to chat, and he was just he was just taken by my aggression. But no, completely just wanted to chat. But this time of year, it's usually that is the route. It's like, let's catch up. But then it's like, what can you do for me here?
God, I then went on later that night to have an hour and 2 minute conversation with your brother after I got home.
I can't imagine that was anything but beautiful. So God,
he's insane.
He really will. I mean, you just give, it's like pouring gasoline on the fire saying you want to talk on the phone with that guy.
I know.
He'll go. He will absolutely go.
Well, Scott, how many, we're about a month away from Greta, so a little over a month.
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm thinking that, I was thinking we should try to do a live pod, but I don't know, with my schedule that might be tough. So at least we'll be live in person together. That is what's important here.
Right.
So yeah, a month away from Greta. But anyway, with all that being said, next movie, can I prepay a score? Because I'm going to tell you right now, this one's going to be a 9 or a 10. I just can't decide yet. It is one of my favorite movies ever. This is a top 5 movie for me. Jeez. We're going to watch Baby Driver. I fucking love this movie. Like, the first time I saw it in theaters was one of the most fun experiences I've ever had in a movie theater. So, really excited to jump into this again, and like I said, I'm gonna prepay my score.
This is a big Edgar Wright pod. We love Shaun of the Dead. Obviously, you and I did that pod, so this should be fun too.
And then let me also say what our next movie is gonna be after that, because Anthony, we haven't talked about it, but I have been on such a huge kick of watching clips of this movie on YouTube that we absolutely need to do this one, and I want to do this one after Baby Driver, and that is The Big Short. So that will be the next movie after this, because I think that I want Jim to be back for that one, because I'm going to love the insight he will give on it. And that's just a really fun movie and very educational at the same time. So if you haven't seen The Big Short, I would say that's a must to watch before listening to said pod. Yeah. But obviously watch Baby Driver 2, but that's our schedule for the next 2 weeks. And that will be number 75. The Big Short will be number 75.
It's a big one.
Another milestone.
Three quarters of the way there to a hundo.
Hundo's going to hit in summer, and we're going to do something big for that. Going to be some sort of big celebration. But anyway... Let me tell you where you can find us. So you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at the Weave underscore Scene underscore That. That is Weave underscore Scene underscore That. Or you can email us at scenethatpodcast@gmail.com. That's S-C-E-N-E, thatpodcast@gmail.com. May is a rough time frame for the next listener guest month. So keep your eyes out for May. Just going to throw that out there. All right, Anthony, any final thoughts? Obviously, next time we'll be recording will probably be the Super Bowl. Who do we like? Who should I put all my money on?
We might not, depending if we get it in this week or not.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I don't like to make any promises on that.
Right. It's a revolving door. I don't know. This is like the one Super Bowl I really just don't care who wins, to be honest.
It should be a fun one, though.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of firepower on both offenses, so hopefully it's just...
And one other final parting thing. How about the Badgers' halftime score yesterday?
Oh my God, it was so horrible.
18-13.
That team.
You hold a team to 13 points and a half, but then you only score 18. Yeah. That's just fucking hilarious.
It was brutal. One of the ugliest games to watch.
Win's a win, though, right? That's
true.
Keep packing the wins. So, God. All right. Well, everybody, have a great week. We will see you next week for... Baby Driver. Jeez, I'm already blanking out. So, as always, thank you for listening. I'm Scott.
I'm Anthony, and roll credits. We'll be right back.